Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan MacLeod. I'm at Melrose Arch in Johannesburg today to talk to Colin Fleming, head of retail at Zappa, the mobile payments app you have undoubtedly seen at your local restaurant or flea market. Colin, we had a great chat a few weeks ago over coffee, and so I'm glad we're finally sitting down to record a show to talk about Zappa and the mobile payment space in South Africa. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. First of all, before we even get into Zappa, I have to ask you about this. When we had coffee a couple of weeks ago, you had a really great story to tell about an encounter you had at an airport with the well-known American sci-fi author, technologist, and blogger Cory Doctorow. Tell us about what happened.
So I'd been in Canada for about 3 weeks with Walmart. I was working with Massmart at the time, and I was spending time with their e-commerce team as part of a work assignment. And it was during the Cricket World Cup, and the wrong end of the world from a time zone perspective, and not a big cricket following nation. I was in the dark about what was happening to South Africa. So when I got to the airport lounge, I was in the BA lounge, and I picked up one of the English papers to quickly try and get a catch up on where the Cricket World Cup was. And while I was sitting down and reading the paper, there was a guy sitting opposite me who I didn't recognize. And then there was an announcement saying, could Mr. Doctorow please come to the front for some reason? And I saw him get up and go. So I thought, oh, that must be Cory Doctorow. And I follow him on Twitter, and I'm a fan of Boing Boing, his blog. And so I went to his Twitter feed, and the last tweet that he had sent said, how is it that grown-ass humans aren't ashamed to read the Daily Mail in public? They wouldn't look at hardcore porn or Nazi literature. So I thought, well, I'm busy reading the Daily Mail. I've clearly offended him in some way. But so when he came back, I said, excuse me, are you Cory Doctorow? And he said, yes. I said, am I the grown-ass human reading Nazi literature or porn? And he went bright red and backpedaled quickly. And we ended up having a very nice conversation. But I thought it was a real exercise in how the perception of anonymity in this online space. I'm sure he references this often. It was
I'm sure.
An awkward moment to have that fed straight back to him by an anonymous guy sitting opposite him in an airport lounge.
Yeah, when you've got that many followers on Twitter, I think you probably need to be a little more careful.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a great story. That's a fantastic story. Have you spoken to him at all since?
I did tweet him once, but never got a reply.
Okay. How embarrassing. So Colin, like me, you're a Durban boy. You went to Hilton College and studied at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. And you have an extensive career history in retail technology, having worked for Massmart. You joined Mass Discounters back in 2005, according to your LinkedIn profile. Tell us a bit about that history and how you got into that space.
I actually stumbled into retail. My career started in about 1994. I saw the World Wide Web for the first time, and it mesmerized me. It was a real aha moment. I saw a website that was being downloaded from a server in Canada, and it intrigued me. And I ended up with a friend of mine starting a business called ePages that built websites for companies. But it was in the days of 18 HTML tags, and it was within my grasp to code web pages. Anyway, we grew a business over the next 10 years. We did lots of interesting pioneering stuff. I was convinced that the e-commerce wave was going to sweep across South Africa, but it never happened. And in about 2002, I left that business. I sold it. We did lots of interesting digital stuff with customers with big ideas and small budgets, but never really took off from an e-commerce perspective. I mean, nothing's really changed. E-commerce is still lagging in this country. So I left that and I joined a sort of stepping stone. I joined Business Connection and I ended up being the account manager to Game. And my customer there was promoted into a Massmart position, and I took over as IT executive at Game in 2005. So I kind of went from the bleeding edge of customer-facing technology to the opposite end of technology in looking after mainframes and 20-year-old DOS-based point-of-sale systems. But it was a great lesson in both corporate structure and governance and in enterprise back-office technology. And I did that for 5 years. It wasn't suited to my innovative bent and my technology bent, and I took an opportunity a few years after doing that for five years to put food into Game. Walmart was in the area, and I got involved in a food project. I ended up running Game Food for 2 years, which I did very badly.
What's the story behind food in Game? I recall you mentioned that there was a strategic rationale behind.
So Walmart was sniffing around South Africa at the time and was courting ShopRite, Pick and Pay, and Massmart. And the CEO at the time said we need retail food in our business. To win the beauty contest, and B, if we lose it, to fight against our competitors, who would now include Walmart. So we very rapidly put retail food into Game, Macro, and acquired Cambridge Food. So that was the story there. So I love doing new stuff. So it was a great education for me in retail strategy from Grant Patterson. And I learned a lot about retail as a merchandise executive, and how brands, consumers, and retailers interact, and the ecosystem that is retail, or grocery retail. And at the end of that, Grant Patterson appointed me to a group e-commerce role. So his mandate to me was, customer 2.0 is here, and we need to change in order to remain relevant to a very rapidly changing, digitally connected customer. And he gave me free rein to spend time traveling around the Walmart universe, trying to understand how technology was being applied to different categories, different shopper missions, different formats, to remain relevant to the customer. And I had a very wide brief to understand the challenges that we're going to be facing. He said, don't bring me answers. I want to understand the problems that we're going to have to face and the questions that we need answering.
So that must have been quite fascinating. You traveled the world looking at Walmart operations around the planet. How many markets did you go to in the end?
So I spent time in Japan, China, India, Brazil, Mexico, in the UK, Canada, and the US. Did I say India? India yes. Was the most interesting for me.
Okay, why is that?
Because of I actually learned something that was valuable to me in my Zappa role. There's a tension between retailers and consumer brands over access to the access and control of the customer, and in India. With a massive informal market there, most of retail, 92% of retail is through informal trade, like what we would call a spaza shop. So there isn't a big foothold with national brand retailers in that market. And the other anomaly in there is that Unilever has about 55% market share of consumer packaged goods, and in some categories they are the only manufacturer. And what they are doing digitally is they are putting tablet devices with barcode scanners into these Kirana spaza shops, and asking the store owners to scan all the barcoded products in their store, which would be sort of between 2 and 5,000 SKUs, stock keeping units, in these remarkably small stores. And what that gives Unilever is access to the catalog in these stores, so they are able to paint a very clear digital picture of what of their products and what of their competitor products are available. And then they've taken that data and they've created virtual online stores for each of these spaza shops, and they've augmented that with their very extensive catalog. They carry a catalog in India of about 25,000 SKUs, which is more than your average pick and pay. So they completely dominate the horizon in terms of consumer branded products, and they've so they've enabled e-commerce for these little stores, but they've enabled them effectively to run a marketplace. So they've got a physical catalog of about between 2,000 and 5,000 products, and a supplementary online catalog of another 23,000, and they then ask the consumers to sign up to the Humara shop, which means superstore in Hindi, and it gives them direct access to those consumers. So when they launch a new oil or peanut butter or breakfast cereal, they can offer coupons directly to those customers that are redeemable in any of the Humara shop network of kiranas. And I think it's absolute genius, giving them direct access to consumers, which is something that the brands are always fighting to get.
Interesting. So you traveled the world, you came back to South Africa. What did you learn during these travels, and how did you apply them in the South African context?
The answer is it depends. It depends on the category. It depends on the context. You know, what works in the UK with Asda, which is Walmart's business in the UK, it simply isn't applicable here because the context is so different.
Right.
People don't have big houses and pantries, so they do far more frequent shopping. So online grocery shopping from a top-up perspective is a viable is a common shopper mission in the UK, much less so here. People tend to have cars. There's a far more pedestrian customers in the UK, and the physical density of consumers in the UK allows them to fulfil the last mile at a profit. Whereas our distribution of online customers, I think Tesco's delivers 12 customers per mile, and Pick and Pay does 12 miles per customer. So the economics just don't work.
Yeah.
You know. So the context is so important to the application of technology in any given market. So one of the things that we did take is we built a marketplace on Macro. Well, I say we, Macro built a marketplace, but that was one of the learnings that we got from those travels, is the value that a category owner or a brand has in attracting customers to shop an assortment that isn't physically held by that merchant. Mm-hmm. So Walmart has an online marketplace of about. A thousand partners, but it allows them to sell. It allows them to get remunerated or to extract value from category dominance. So if somebody thinks they're going to buy some home gym equipment, they might start with Macro. Macro might have 10 products in their catalog, but they might partner with another retailer, a smaller retailer who has a much bigger assortment, better service. Mm-hmm. And they can both win.
Out of interest, you mentioned that e-commerce in South Africa is relatively small compared to some of these markets. What's holding it back? Are the retailers in South Africa not approaching the market correctly, or was it just a case of consumers not ready to embrace e-commerce?
Yeah, so I think the economics of it are very challenging. We've got I think that the market is relatively small. The geography is quite big. And I don't think that we have a burning platform. I think that we're a very mall-based retail environment. A lot of our mid-market customers see shopping as an experience and entertainment rather than a grudge.
I'm not one of them, I must tell you.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, I learned some very interesting lessons about customer shopping behavior when I was at Game. A lot of people will make a day of an outing to a mall. They'll see a movie, they'll do their grocery shopping, get their hair done, and we'll travel as a family.
Interesting.
So I don't think there's no single reason why e-commerce hasn't taken off here.
I think a
big part of why traditional retailers have gone hard at e-commerce in other markets is because of the strength of Amazon or Amazon-like players in different markets, which forces a burning platform.
Yes. Yes. So the rest of your career at Massmart?
That was the end of it. I was approached by Zappa, who grew up in Zappa's grown its base in hospitality merchants.
Yeah.
And they were keen to get into formal retail, and that was the job that was given to me or has been given to me.
Okay, so you joined Zappa when back in 2015?
Yes, I think December 2016 I joined Zappa.
2016, okay.
Yeah, so just over a year.
Okay. Well, tell us a bit about Zappa. It's an international company, right, but it's got strong South African connections, if I'm correct.
Yeah, so we were founded by a South African who's got very successful online e-commerce routes in other markets, and his aha moment came when the smartphone kind of hit mass market, and he realized that all of the capabilities of an e-commerce merchant, you know everything you need to know about your customer because the entire customer journey is digitized, and traditional merchants have no visibility or very little visibility of their customers if they haven't invested in loyalty programs. And so his kind of aha moment was that the smartphone would provide the digital interface and connect offline to online and enable capabilities, digital marketing capabilities, to traditional merchants that they couldn't otherwise get. And he figured out that if you can anchor a customer journey on a payment, you can create value upstream and downstream from a payment, in the form of convenient payment journeys and rewarding customers for behaviors that you want them to display through loyalty cards and the like. So a smart payment, a Zappa payment, is a signed payment. We know who the customer is or who the user is, and we can connect a user with a basket which has value for a consumer. And I guess the real value driver is that you can get customer data by providing them with convenience rather than 2% of their basket spend. So it's a much cheaper way of acquiring customer data.
Okay. So how long has the business been around? And is it headquartered here in South Africa?
So Zappa is, I work for Zappa Marketing South Africa, which is a discrete Pty Limited entity in South Africa. We have a development company called ZapDev, which is headquartered in Cape Town, in Century City. We've got about 100 people in Century City who build the Zappa app and the banking interfaces.
Worldwide or here in South Africa?
Here in South Africa.
Okay.
And then we've got Zappa Marketing UK and Zappa Marketing USA. Who are operating in those two markets?
Okay, and you're still based in Durban.
We are Zappa Marketing South Africa is a Durban.
It's a Durban-based company.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's not a lot of retail in Durban though, so I spend a lot of time on aeroplanes.
Okay, yes, good point. Are there any big retailers in Durban? I'm trying to
say. There's Mr. Price, Spa, and Game are the three big retailers. Yeah, yes, Hersh's is also, but the epicenter of retail is Cape Town in this country.
Yes, yes. Pick and Pay, ShopRite,
Woolworths, Clicks. Yeah.
Okay. I always forget about Mr. Price. They're Durban based. They're a big company.
They are a big company. Yeah.
And Spa, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. So I use Zappa quite extensively. Especially when I'm at restaurants, I always prefer paying with Zappa if it's available, because to my mind, it minimizes the possibility of my card getting scanned or cloned. I just feel it's a more secure platform. And I'm sure many listeners to the show have used the product or at the very least are aware of it. But in your experience, why do people use the product mainly instead of swiping their card?
The primary value driver to a Zappa user is convenience. Uh-huh. It's where we've got the most traction is in sit-down dining, where you're typically presented with an invoice at the end of your meal, and there's a frustrating wait period for a PIN entry device or a credit card machine.
Yes.
So those typically cost between 200 and 500 rand a month to rent, depending on your negotiation skills. And so restaurant owners don't want to have too many of them, and at peak times they're hard to come by. So there's a frustrating waiting period for a customer at the end of a meal, and by simply putting an analog QR code on the invoice, we give another 2 minutes back to those users. So giving customers time is the tool that we give to merchants in hospitality. So from a user's perspective, it's all about convenience.
Okay. And the revenue model, you're not renting out point of sale PIN entry devices. Do you take a small cut of the sale, or do you charge the merchant a monthly fee?
So we charge the merchant a monthly fee. We've got bronze, silver, and platinum packages that provide different levels of value to the merchant. For example, we've got a loyalty card solution that is either frequency based or spend based that would allow you to reward a customer after 10 visits after reaching a spend threshold of 500 rand in a given period. You can issue a 50 rand voucher. The entry point doesn't provide those capabilities, and as you grow up in the packages, you get access to more and more of the value adds.
Okay. And I know I use the product not so much for convenience, actually, but because of I'm concerned about security, and also secondary to that, I don't like using those dirty PIN entry devices.
Yeah.
But do you see any resistance from people to using the product on concerns about security?
It's less to do about security and more to do about this unknown brand Zapper.
Yes.
So I mean, and the more we're seen in the market, the more that goes away.
Yeah.
I don't think that the average person is security literate, so I don't think that they really understand the advantages of app-based payment. I think one hack might change their mind, or one skimming experience might change their minds. But very much, what's played back to us is this is a super convenient way to pay. I can leave my wallet at home or my handbag in the car when I go into the Mug and Bean to get my coffee, kind of thing.
So I suppose resistance is mainly people saying, well, what is this? I don't understand this. I understand taking the card out of my wallet and handing it to the waiter, but I have to download an app. I suppose there's a bit of resistance there. It's just that it's something that people are not familiar with.
Correct. Yeah, and we find that's quite age specific. Younger people have got no issue with downloading apps and setting stuff up and giving permissions for all sorts of things.
Yes.
Older people are much more reluctant and more sort of set in their ways.
Yeah, I suppose that applies to any technology.
Yeah. the convenience value is important. So in retail, you don't get presented with an invoice prepayment. You've got a poll display with a number on it, or a cashier tells you an amount that you're owed. So in a retail environment, we have to put down a screen that faces the customer in order to present the QR code to them to pay.
Yes.
And I think an important element of retail is that once I'm at the front of the queue, there's a PIN entry device there. There's no convenience value to me paying with Zapper. So we have to find other ways of creating value for the customer to pay with Zapper at that point.
What might some of those ways be?
So a very important part of what we do is our secret sauce, I think, is our integrated vouchering platform. So we have the ability to activate a voucher from a printed QR code, which is quite important to brands when they are wanting to activate new products. We have the ability to put that into the community newspapers with an offer that a customer would now scan. The value would transfer to their Zapper app and would be automatically redeemed if there's a qualifying item in the basket when they shop at Dis-Chem, for example, who we're in pilot with at the moment.
All right. Okay.
So we did some tests last year with Procter & Gamble and Dis-Chem, which were very successful, and we're expanding that pilot starting in April.
Great. So can I see it in some of the stores here in Joburg yet?
Clearwater Mall will be the first Joburg store.
Okay. Okay. Are you in other retail environments? I know I see your services in almost every restaurant I go to now, to be honest. Are you in any big retail chains at this stage?
Just Dis-Chem at this stage.
Okay.
We're having conversations with a few others that have progressed nicely, but I'm under NDA, so I can't say.
No, sure. So tell us how extensive the Zapper network is now. How many point of sale, or how many endpoints do you have in the marketplace? And I know there is a big focus on the hospitality space, on restaurants in particular. What are some of the adjacent areas that you're looking to expand into beyond your traditional retail type environment?
So our base is very much in hospitality, restaurants, bars, and small retail shops. I mean, we're in a lot of small kind of mom and pop retailers.
Right.
A lot of markets. We've got about 16,000 merchants that are active Zapper merchants at the moment. Interesting aside, not part of my business, but we offer a cash advance to our merchants based on their history of their trading, which is one of the value adds that we provide to the small merchants, not relevant in national retail. But they've formed a very important part of creating a base for us. So we've had about 1.2 million downloads of the Zapper app, and about 550,000 transacting users. So we've got a very good foundation to build from. The brand is now accepted as a trusted payment type in this market, and that's an important point in the progress that we're making in retail, is that consumers see value in Zapper in aggregate across multiple merchants. So it should penetrate multiple or punctuate multiple customer journeys in their regular shopping cycle, whether it's in hospitality or retail. And we've been under pressure from our users for some time, saying, when are you going to open up in retail? When are you going to get into retail? Adjacent categories would be e-commerce. We've got some very successful. I think our biggest e-commerce merchant is One Day Only. We do a significant number of daily transactions with them. Fly Safe is one of our recent but fast-growing merchants. We have plans to take that on board for in-flight payments. Parking is a massive grudge to people. We're busy in talks with a number of the parking companies to integrate with parking. Exactly.
Yes, just showing Colin my parking ticket and having to go up to the machine afterwards. Yeah. And find coins and scratch around.
You know, and importantly, you know, merchants want to pay for their customers' parking. If you are prepared to go in and spend money with a merchant, they want to reward you with or compensate you for the parking. The current technology makes it very difficult for all but the biggest retailers to do that. Mm-hmm. And we democratize access to that, that we can have automatic actions that says if Colin exceeds X spend at this merchant, automatically give him 10 rand off his parking.
Yes. I really like the e-commerce example, though. I shop a lot online.
Okay.
From different merchants, and I'm always having to put my credit card details in. I don't like saving my credit card information with them, because we've seen hacking things happening.
Yep.
And customer details being stolen. So I tend not to store every time I have to type in my credit card number again with the merchant. If I could simply scan a QR code on the screen at checkout when I'm buying from Takealot, for example, it would be so much more convenient.
So Loot, Yuppie Chef, One Day Only, and Dis-Chem are all online partners of ours. We're in talks with. I mean, you can expect a lot more. There's some of the big national retailers will be coming on board soon. I'm not sure about Takealot. We'd love to see them partnering with us. It really is a transformative payment experience. It's like the first time you got out of an Uber.
Yes.
And said, what happened?
And
what just happened?
It puts the control back in the consumer's hands.
Yes.
Because you're not having to either store your information with the merchant, and you can control your own security around your payment mechanism.
Yep.
which I think is
huge. Yeah, and I mean, to my earlier point, that's not well understood by users, but the merchants certainly agree. I mean, Andrew Smith from Yuppie Chef said he doesn't want to store customers, the risk of storing customer credit cards is too high. He doesn't want that on his plate.
Yeah.
So he loves Zapper because it allows his customers to have a great payment experience without putting him at risk.
Yeah, and if you do have a hack, it causes huge reputational damage. We've seen instances in the US. I mean, it must have a massive impact on consumer sentiment towards those companies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Colin, let's talk a little bit about the competitive landscape in South Africa. There's, of course, SnapScan, which is backed by Standard Bank. But in Gauteng, I don't see it as much as I do when I'm visiting Cape Town. Is it really a two-horse race in South Africa between the two of you? And do you see the banks getting more actively involved in this particular segment of mobile payments? Because it seems to me like an obvious feature to integrate into a smartphone banking app.
Absolutely. So firstly, I'm a fan of Kobus Ellis. I think he's done a great job. I'm a SnapScan user myself, and it certainly dominates the merchant base in the Cape. But we don't see ourselves as competitors to SnapScan. They provide a payment app to merchants. We don't make money out of payments. Our model is to make money out of value adds. So a percentage of the basket value is not what we adding a percentage to the basket value is not how we want to make our money. We want to make our money out of loyalty, out of vouchering, and assisting that shopper and customer data, getting the merchant in contact with their customer, so that they can influence their shopping behavior and grow basket spend. And frequency of purchase. That's what our tools were designed. We're a marketing and insights company.
Yeah.
Payment is a Trojan horse for us to deliver value upstream and downstream from that payment.
Okay.
So our value proposition to a merchant is a very different one to SnapScan or MasterPass.
Yes.
So we've signed an interoperability agreement with MasterPass. So quite soon you'll be able to pay for your goods or services at a Zapper merchant with MasterPass, and vice versa. And we will look to do the same with SnapScan. We've done the same with Alipay. So if you're an Alipay user in South Africa or Europe, you can pay at Zapper merchants.
Interesting. So it's almost like a SaaS switch of
It
makes sense for you to cooperate in that way.
It does. So to my earlier point, we don't make money out of payments. We enable voucher redemption and loyalty card update based on attached in parallel to a payment.
Mm. Okay. And the banks, do you think they're going to integrate this into their smartphone banking apps at some point?
We see banks very much as potential partners. Their traditional corporate mindsets. There are antibodies to innovation. We think that they would rather partner than compete.
Isn't the approach typically of big corporates to do everything yourself and try and crush the small guys in the market? Do you not see them as a potential future competitive risk?
No, I see them as a potential partner.
Okay.
What we enable is a very convenient payment. So if you look in the Zapper app, you'll see an area to put in to capture a credit card, but that can be anything. Any payment instrument will suffice, whether it could be your RCS card, it could be your builder's warehouse trade debtors account, it could be your bank account. We're just enabling a lookup of an open to buy and then a transfer of funds based on a customer activating it. And you know, I think that the customers, users will drive the market to one, maybe two payment apps.
Mm-hmm.
My boss has a view that payment will go the same way as messaging. We've gone through Mixit, we've gone through BlackBerry Messenger, and we've stabilized on WhatsApp in this market. And the same is true in every single market. But there's, mobile payment is not that challenging. There are over 200 mobile payment providers in the US. Winning the hearts and minds of the users is the challenging bit.
Yes.
So I recently got a new credit card. I had to update 12 different apps with my credit card details, which was an absolute pain. Mm-hmm. Because of my job, I do it. But Joe Average is not going to do that. Mm. They're going to push the market to single payment apps, and we provide that interoperability between merchants or banks and the users.
Yeah, well, it's great to hear that you're doing interoperability. You used the instant messaging example, and it frustrates me no end that none of these instant messaging platforms talk to each other. If you're on WhatsApp, you can't talk to someone on Skype. Yeah. If you're on Skype, you can't talk to someone on WeChat, for example.
Yeah.
And what you guys are doing here is not that. You're actively integrating with one another and promising to interoperate.
Well, again, our value proposition is quite different. We're a marketing and insights company.
Sure.
That sits on top of a payment.
Okay. Colin, before I let you go, the Lightning Network on Bitcoin went live this week, supposedly going to sort out the speed and cost of transacting using Bitcoin. But what about cryptocurrency integration into Zapper? Is that something that's on the roadmap? Will I be able to spend my Bitcoin, not that I have any Bitcoin, mind you, on the Zapper platform at some point soon?
So the answer is that I don't know, but I'm fairly confident, knowing the entrepreneurial spirit of my boss, that if there's a business case, it'll happen. So to my earlier point, we will integrate with any payment instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is yes, if it makes commercial sense.
All right.
I'm not sure that Bitcoin has a future.
You're not?
No.
Okay, well, let's not go there, because we'll be here for another few hours, I suspect. Colin Fleming, thanks so much for talking to Tech Central. Colin is head of retail at Zapper. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.